Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
All right, good morning, everybody. How are you today? Are you doing great? Yeah, we'll take it. All right, would you welcome everybody watching on the internet right now? Good morning, God bless you, wherever you are. It's a privilege to have you with us. Go ahead and grab your Bibles, if you would, please. Hold those up in the air and repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have, and I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. All right, we're going to open our Bibles in a little bit. I'm going to read a few scriptures to you first as we kind of set a foundation, but let me catch up some of you that might be joining us for the first time. We're in a series called Kingdom Culture. Our desire over the last few weeks is trying to help individuals realize that Christianity is not a world religion. It's a real kingdom where God is a real king and we're citizens of that kingdom. We're natural born citizens by being born again into that kingdom. We did not buy our way in. We did not earn our way in. We've been born into this kingdom. Now, in this new kingdom, we've come out of an old kingdom. The old kingdom is a kingdom of darkness, and we're now in the kingdom of light. Can I hear an amen on that? Absolutely. These kingdoms don't function the same. See, in every kingdom, there are certain cultures in that kingdom that make it unique to that. So in certain cultures or areas, there are certain foods, there are certain customs, certain ethics, certain things. And all of those things that you find in that kingdom, they're a direct connection and reflection of the culture of its king. And so the priorities of the king are reflected in its kingdom. The heart of the king reflected in the kingdom. The way the king is towards his citizens reflected in the kingdom. And so you've come out of a kingdom of darkness where there was a different king. And in the old kingdom, kingdom of darkness, it did things a different way. The old kingdom was ruled by fear. This one's ruled by faith. Amen? In love. The old kingdom, we were in it for ourselves and we wanted to make sure we survived and we got as much as we could get for us. It didn't matter what happened to everybody else as long as we were okay. In this kingdom, it functions differently. We care about other people. And we know God's taking care of us, and we want to help other people succeed and other people win as well. See, these kingdoms don't function the same. And so in our study over the kingdom culture, it's trying to help you identify, understand the culture you've been brought into. Because you prayed a prayer of salvation. You've prayed a prayer to come into the kingdom. But now it's time to acculturate you into how this kingdom functions. I believe some things are going to happen. Number one, I believe it helps us fall in love with the kingdom of God all over again when we talk about it. We begin to realize we're really blessed to be a part of this kingdom and that this is the way that God set this thing up. Our king's amazing and the kingdom is amazing. Amen? And so it stirs us up to hear about the culture of our kingdom because it helps us to value some things that we might have forgotten that are in our kingdom. Sometimes we forget, man, our kingdom really is that good. But it also will help you then, as you help people who are still in the kingdom of darkness, it'll help you verbalize and be able to communicate to them what the kingdom of God is really like, why we're inviting them into something that's better than where they currently are. And sometimes when we've failed to pay attention to our culture and what's going on in our kingdom, we don't know how to share that then with people in a different kingdom. Sometimes we think they're too much the same. They're nothing like each other. These kingdoms are different completely. And the kingdom of God is a kingdom of life, hope, peace, all kind of those things. And so it's important that you understand how to share who you are with those that don't know anything about the kingdom yet. So today, the culture of the kingdom we want to talk about is that we are in a culture, this kingdom culture, which is a direct reflection of our king, is a culture of passion and ambition. Passion and ambition. Lord, I've been stirring this in my heart for the past few months, actually. I've been praying about this, even teaching it to our staff. But something where the Lord wanted to remind us, the body of Christ, that we are a passionate people. It is not normal, it is not our culture as Christians to hear about God, be changed, be saved, be filled with power, and then just to sit on the couch and wait for Jesus to come and take us home. That is not the culture of the kingdom of God. We are a passionate people. Now, we may express passion differently, but there are goals that we set. There are objectives we put on in front of us. There are targets we must hit. We have ambition. We are a highly motivated culture. Amen. You know, our God, our King, is a highly motivated King. Let me show you just some scripture as we start today. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 23 through 27. And I do all this for the sake of the gospel. This is the Apostle Paul talking. So that I may share in its blessings along with you. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run their very best to win? So there's a type of running. You can run casually or you can run it with the motivation with the passion, with the goal and focus to win it. But only one receives the prize. When you run your race in such a way that you may seize the prize. So Paul is encouraging these believers, hey, you're on a race. Each of us have our own race that is set before us. And there's a certain passion involved in that. There's a certain ambition involved in that. And it's this, run your race to win the race. Don't just run this Christian life in circles and don't go out for a jog. We want to win. Amen. There's a mindset involved in winning. And with that mindset, there's all kinds of actions and discipline and things that we're willing to do in order to win. It's a culture of winning. We are in a culture of winning. Amen. Only one receives the prize. Run your race in such a way that you may seize the prize and make it yours. Now, every athlete who goes into training and competes in the games is disciplined and exercises self-control in all things. And they do it to win. Again, it says it. To win a crown that withers, but we do it to receive an imperishable crown that cannot wither. Therefore, I do not run without a definite goal. There's that idea of ambition. I want to succeed in something. I do not flail around like one beating the air, just shadow boxing. But like a boxer, I strictly discipline my body. I make it my slave so that after I have preached the gospel to others, I myself will not somehow be disqualified as unfit for service. And I just want to help you see this Christian race that we're on, and we're all running a race. Some people run it casually, but that's not the way it was meant to be run. That's not our culture, to be casual about our Christianity or to be casual about the goals and the objectives of the King and the races that he's put us on. We are a passionate people, and we actually have a desire in our heart to win this thing, okay, to win the races that we're on. The culture comes right from our King himself. Our God is not casual about his goals and objectives. Are you understanding? Our God is passionate, and he has set his specific ambitions. Our King is a passionate King. Passion is a strong feeling or enthusiasm or an excitement about doing something or accomplishing something. You even talk about Jesus' last week here on the earth, and they call it the Passion Week of the Christ. And what was that? For the joy set before him, he endured that cross, despising its shame. See, he had an objective in his mind, and that finish line, that goal, what he wanted to see accomplished, that passion drove him to do his best and give his all in order to win. See, when Jesus came, he didn't come to play games. He came to win something. He came to win a kingdom back. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Sometimes this idea of winning, we don't realize who our opponent is, and that's why the language doesn't fit. Everybody, we do want to win because we're beating and opposing the enemy of their souls in this world. We're opposing the devil. We're opposing sin. We're opposing the spirit of an age. Are you understanding? And so we have a race, and we're not just taking a jog against the devil. I want to win over him. Amen. Jesus came not to just run with the devil. He came to crush him under his feet. Amen. You understand? There's some passion in there. There's specific objectives in there. Jesus didn't come just to kind of play around in people's lives. He came to bring victory into people's lives. He came to go all the way to the finish line in your life. If Jesus is getting involved in your life, he didn't just come to spend a little time. He came to transform completely. You understand? He came to accomplish his goals and his objective in your life. He's not casual about what he's doing in your life. Amen. He's very passionate. He's very ambitious. He wants to succeed. He's doing it to win, not to spend time. He's doing it to win. That's the heart of the Lord. That's the heart of the King. And that's what's in our kingdom culture. Man, praise God. Our King is not only passionate, he also has great ambition, that desire to succeed. We as citizens of the kingdom are the same. We are not born again to sit around and wait, to stand idly by while the world gets swallowed up in darkness. If you hear Christians that just sit around and criticize the direction of the world or the direction of the country or how bad everything is, but they don't get involved to bring change, they're still living out of the old culture. They're still living out of the old kingdom, which just criticizes and complains but doesn't get involved. You see, the kingdom of God, we can't do that. That's not our culture anymore because our lives have been transformed and we know the heart of the King, and the King is his heart becomes our heart. And his heart, where he sees hopelessness, he wants to bring hope. Where he sees darkness, he wants to bring light. Are you understanding? Where he sees death, he wants to bring life. And his culture gets into our hearts, and it's now our culture. Amen. I left the old culture that could just sit around and say, just protect me and my own. And now I'm now in a culture that has the world in its heart because my king has the world in his heart. Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, our king does not sit idly by. Praise God. When he saw us in need, he moved up off his throne and he put on flesh and he came and got involved. Again, not to just be around, but to win a victory. Amen. And that's us. We're here in this life, not just to exist, not just to abide time until Jesus comes, but to continue to win the victory of Jesus, to continue the race, to continue the battle. Amen. Passion and ambition. Where did this come from in my heart? Last few months, I've been doing some reading. I love history. I'm a history guy. And so for me, an ideal vacation would be to go to one of the Smithsonians, or all the Smithsonians, actually spend a week and read every single plaque on every single wall, on every single display. For some of you, you're like, that's awesome. For others of you, you're like, Jesus, take me now. You know what I'm saying? But for me, that's a vacation. I love history. I love to learn. And so I was doing some reading on some biographies, particularly of the presidents of the United States, because I'm just interested in their versions of leadership and kind of what they went through. And in reading about presidents, I saw something in relationship to passion and ambition that I've been trying to teach the staff over the last few weeks. And now I believe it's time that we bring it into our church, because it's something that we need to have as our mindsets. I realize there is a pattern of most presidents, and it's this. The majority of people who become president have something in common. They wanted to become president. Thank you for that revelation, Pastor Kevin. I really came all the way in the rain today to hear that. But please think about this. There's a lot of people that never got into the competition. They never got into the race. They never ran that thing because it wasn't of interest to them. And there's a lot of people that would quit and things like that, who maybe kind of was a passing interest, maybe in college, or maybe they did a little of this, a little of that. But, you know, there takes a lot of resolve to want to become the president of the United States. There's a lot of effort. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of training. There's a lot of ridicule. There's a lot of sacrifice. Whether you like all the presidents, you don't like all the presidents. I'm trying to tell you something. There's a theme here. In this type of leadership, in this type of position, if you want God to utilize you to make great change, you have to first want to be there, which means you have to exchange a passive mindset for an ambitious mindset, one that's just willing to take whatever is given to you, and another one that says, I'm willing to win a race, whether anyone gives it to me or not. Where the world steps back and says, hey, we want you there, they don't want me there. If God's put it in my heart, I want to be there, and I have the passion, I have the ambition to get there, no matter what the cost, no matter what the sacrifice, no matter what the ridicule. You understand what I'm saying? See, these people became president, and one of the biggest reasons they became president is they wanted to be president. I know that sounds so simple, but you know, there's Christians all over the place that they don't know what they want, and they don't set their heart like flint towards anything. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, he gives you desires of your heart, but the thing is, you don't know what you want. Amen. You don't set your objective and your ambition to say, I want to win. I want to win in my city. I want to win in my family. I want to win in my body. I want to win in my life. I want to win in this culture and in this generation. Churches don't set the right wins. See, they want to win in maybe numbers in the church rather than I want to win over a city. Amen. I want to win over a generation, and I'll join other churches to get it done. You know what I'm saying? Amen. You can tell I've been preaching on passion for two services. You're in for it. Amen. They wanted to lead. They wanted to win. They wanted to defeat their opponent. Church, we need to want to beat over the devil again. Amen. Too many times we're letting him do all the winning. You know what? I want to win over him. And in Christ, I already have. It's a matter of putting that into practice now. Amen. They wanted to lead. They wanted to win. They wanted to defeat their opponents. And they wanted to have their day setting the course of the future for the United States. You know, Lincoln said this in one of his statements about passion, ambition, and kind of what was in his heart. He said, every man is said to have his peculiar ambition. Whether it be true or not, I can say for one, that I have no other so great of ambition as that of being truly esteemed by my fellow men, by rendering myself worthy of their esteem. So he said one of his goals was to live a life worthy of the esteem of other people. And it became a passion and ambition of his life as he made decisions, which he knew would be unpopular sometimes, but he made decisions desiring to live a life that would be esteemed by history and by his contemporaries. Interesting thing about Lincoln, in the beginning part of his life, when he was studying to be a lawyer and he was running for office and things like that, he had a belief in God, but there were some writings that he did not necessarily have a great understanding or even a belief in an afterlife in the beginning. Now, later on, he kind of changed that a little bit towards the end of his life, but towards the beginning, his motivation for being president and to being esteemed and to live an honorable life and to be esteemed by his contemporaries was that was part of the way he thought his life was going to live on, because he didn't necessarily think there was eternity afterwards. And so he thought everything that matters in life, if your life was ever going to have meaning or purpose or matter, it's what you do with the life and the time that you were given. And you're remembered throughout history based on the good that you did and the time you had, even if you ceased to be into eternity. Now, we believe and we know, because Jesus came and proved it to us, that there is eternal life and there is an afterlife. But we can actually have an opposing problem, and it's this. As Christians, we kind of look to eternity and think, well, I'll just wait through my time I'm given, and I'll really kick it on in eternity when I get there one day. Are you understanding that that is not the right way to live? You see, where Lincoln thought there was no eternity, so all the time he had here, he needed to buy up that time. We as Christians need to realize something even greater, and that's this. Everything we do in this period of time that we have affects and goes on into eternity. So what we're doing here is not wasted. It does not fade, but it continues on. Every life we touch, every kingdom advancement we create, it will echo through eternity. And if we don't do it on this side of eternity, it won't make it into that side of eternity, which puts a double responsibility on us to set our passions and our ambitions to use the time we have rightly. Amen. And to be intentional and to run the race and the time of that race to win, to run in such a way, the Bible says. How are you running your race? Are you running in such a way as to win it? Or are you casually taking a jog? Are you understanding? Amen. Speaking of passion and ambition again, Lincoln said this, talking about setting goals and objectives and really going after it. Humorously, he said, you know, you've heard it said, things come to those who wait, but only things left by those who hustle. You understand? We're not here to get the leftovers, right? We're here to take it all. Amen. I don't want what the devil's left behind. Amen. I want to beat him to the punch. Amen. I want to start letting the devil eat my dust. Amen. And ours as kingdom advancers. Amen. As citizens of a kingdom of God. And you know why this passion's there? You want to know where that attitude comes from? It comes from the king. It comes from the king who doesn't want to play catch up to the devil. He's leading. Amen. He's crushing the enemy's head. He's cutting him off at all turns. He's solving problems the enemy's created. And the devil's already been defeated. Are you understanding? Jesus didn't come to just kind of have a casual boxing match with the devil. He came to defeat him. For this cause, the Son of Man came to destroy the works of the devil, the Bible says. To win. To overcome. I found a similar thread of thinking in any champion of all kinds of sports fields, just like the presidents. Same theme. These champions, they all wanted to be champions. You understand that? Wanting to win makes you practice differently. Wanting to be a champion makes you stay longer. It makes you take the defeats and learn from it and get back up and figure out how to do it better the next time. But it's the desire to be the champion. It's the desire to be victorious. It's the desire to finish the race. It's the ambition, the set goal, and the passion attached to that thing. But if you don't want to be the victor, if you don't want to be the champion, the passion and the ambition can't lead you to the end of the race because you keep finding reasons to quit and take a nap. Are you understanding? This may sound too basic, but if you don't desire to be the best or to be the victor or to be the leader at something, you probably won't be. Do you hear that, church? If we don't desire to be the light in this world right now, then we probably won't be. If we don't desire to get ahead of the devil in culture and generation, then we probably won't. If we don't desire to be victorious over the devil in our families, in our own personal lives, in our cities, then we probably won't be victorious. It's not a lack of God's will, and it's not a lack of God's power. It's a lack of us rising up on the inside, setting the goal and the ambition to say we will win at all costs. And we will push and we will run to the point of exhaustion. And with supernatural help of God, we're going to run even harder and run even farther. Because we will not quit. We were born to win the race, not to quit halfway through. Amen. Having put my hand to the plow, I don't keep looking back where I was. I got too much in front of me. I'm running and I'm finishing this race and I'm running the race to win. I'm running it in such a way. Amen. See, here's the thing. You don't fall into great victories. You fight for them. You pursue them. You sacrifice for them. You work harder and longer than your opponent because you desire to beat him. Did you hear what I said, church? We won't accidentally win the cities. We won't accidentally win victories in our lives. We won't accidentally do great works. Are you understanding? We do them intentionally. We fight for victory. Amen. We pursue it. We sacrifice for it intentionally. So let's talk about humility, because you think to yourself, man, this sounds really arrogant, Pastor Kevin. Listen, the humble part, the humility part is this. I am not running and fighting to build my kingdom. Everything in our lives is about building the kingdom of God and helping other people succeed in the vision of God for their lives. It's honorable. So it's not about you making your name great. It's about you making the name of the King great in the lives of other people. So it's not a humble thing. Humility doesn't pull myself off the finish line. Humility doesn't put myself back in the shadows. See, because here's the thing. The spotlight's going to be on someone. And if it's not the believer, it's the unbeliever. See, someone's going to lead. Someone's going to lead in government. And if it's not a believer, it's an unbeliever. You only have those two options. Someone's going to lead in education, in setting education. And if it's not Christians who desire to be the leaders in education, it will be unbelievers that are leaders in education. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Someone's leading our cities. Someone's leading culture. And if we don't desire to lead it, then we won't ever lead it. If we keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, if we don't set it as objectives, if we don't set it as goals, and if we don't allow our passion to become passionate about it, and someone says, why are you so passionate about public office? Why are you so passionate about education? Why are you so passionate about getting into media and entertainment arena? And you could say, because of the King, because the King's passionate and he wants to see victory in those arenas. And I cannot sit idly by and let the devil have ownership of things the King's already paid for. Amen. We can't do it. It's not our culture. That's what I'm trying to say. If you see boring Christians, that's not our culture. Amen. If you see people that just whine and complain about things and they don't want to initiate change, then they haven't left the old culture yet and they need to be acculturated in the King's culture. Because the kingdom of God is different than the kingdom of darkness. Because the kingdom of God, I'll say it over and over again. You learn through repetition. And again, I say to you, the kingdom of darkness is about making sure you're safe, you're happy, and everything's about you. The kingdom of God says, God keeps me safe. God's making me fulfilled. Now I'll spend my life on behalf of the King and other people. I said that really fast, so I don't know if you heard what I said, but you can say amen anyway. Amen. See, lots of people can get easily stirred up to fight for what's right, but it takes ambition and passion to keep you fighting when the battle gets long. Because all these things we're talking about don't happen overnight. See, they take ambition and they take passion. The ambition is, I want to succeed. I will succeed. I know where I want to succeed. And passion says, I'm going to keep going until I succeed. See, enthusiasm is common. Endurance is what's rare. A lot of people get stirred up. But will you be passionate enough to pick yourself up and get up another day and go again? Get up another day and go again. Dust yourself off after you stumble and go again. You know, because we will stumble sometimes because we're learning through trial and error. We're learning what we don't know. It doesn't make you a failure if you get up and keep running. You're only a failure if you stay down. Amen. So we're going to learn how to win a city. We're going to learn how to win, you know, in our schools. We're going to learn how to win in our culture and our generation. And there's some things we're going to try that work, some things that aren't going to work, but we're just going to keep going because we want to win it all. We want to win it all of it. Lincoln said this about success. He says, success is going from failure to failure without losing your enthusiasm. See, there's success at the end of it, and you're going to learn every time you try and fail, but you keep going because you've set your mind, and you've run the race to win it, and you're in the fight to win it, to finish it. Amen. You're not just in the fight to take a couple of swings. You're in the fight to win this fight. Amen. Passion and ambition. You know, it's true in a couple areas. I want to break it into a personal area because I don't want you just to think I'm talking about the city in the community and the generation, though that's in my heart, and we'll talk about it in a second. But it's very personal as well. It's true for you personally in your own victories of spiritual growth. I ask this question, do you want to win? You know, some people, they say they want to win over addictions in their life, but until they really get to a place that they're ready to win and they want to win, they don't pay the price to win. See what I'm saying? They say, yeah, I want to run that race. I want to get freedom from that alcoholism. I want to get freedom from that pornography. I want to get freedom from the rage and the anger. But here's the deal. Until you really want to be a champion over that thing, you're always going to find excuses to keep that thing in your life. See, because when you really want to win, you do whatever it takes to win. That means that you get yourself into accountability. Amen. You don't just talk about it. You say, I want to beat this thing. I know Jesus has given me authority over this thing. I'm going to get serious about this thing. And it's not until I get serious about it that I win, because I'm running it to win. So you say, I'm putting myself in accountability with someone. I've had this area in my life. I'm ready to get it done. And I don't even need you to call me. I will call you every day. I will bug you until my freedom manifests. You see what I'm saying? I won't hide my sin anymore. See, because again, if you're not wanting to win over it, you have all these excuses why not to tell the truth and let the truth make you free about it. And so you keep hiding the thing, keep trying to cover it up. That means you're not serious about winning yet. But the moment you get ambitious enough and you get passionate enough and you run that race to win, you know what? That sin doesn't stand a chance. That addiction doesn't stand a chance because Jesus already defeated it. Amen. It's not a lack of power. It's not a lack of God's will. It's just you making up your mind. Amen. Consider yourself dead to sin, sin dead to you. Sin no longer has power and dominion over your life. The only sins we keep are the ones we want to keep. Wow, that was really strong. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, passion and ambition, you don't win until you want to win. You don't win over sin accidentally or casually. Amen. And so you get yourself into teaching, you get yourself into the word, you get yourself mentored. I'm just saying you do whatever it takes because you finally said, I'm finally going to win over this thing. Amen. And then the same is true in culture, in fighting against the darkness of a generation. Do we really want to win? It's a challenge to the church because we talk about it and we're like, yeah, we really want to win. We don't really say it with that high-pitched sound, but you know, it's like, we want to win in culture. But then we have prayer meetings to intercede for culture and nobody's there. Do we really want to win? We really want to win in culture. So, okay, we're providing community opportunities to get involved in the community, and yet we can't make any time. We're even saying, do it in your own time. Do it in your own opportunity. Let the Holy Spirit connect it to you. But have you really taken it seriously yet to figure out where in the community you can go be a light and shine? Or do we just casually make it a secondary thought? Are you understanding this? Until we really want to win, we're not going to. I really believe there's more than enough people and power in the church to transform our cities. But until the church actually gets serious about it, we just want to talk about it. We just want to complain about it. But until we actually set ambitious goals and we put our passions towards it, we're not going to see the change. But the moment we get serious, we run that race and we're going to win because Jesus never loses. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We may even die in the process, but there'll be 10 more behind us that'll keep the vision going. And we won't quit until we win this city. But you see, it's all about our ambition. It's all about our passion. Once we finally settle in our hearts that we're going to make a difference in a generation, guess what's going to happen? We're finally going to make a difference in a generation. Amen. And then we do whatever. I'm not saying talking like we want to make a difference. I'm saying we decide we want to make a difference. And then we drive our passions into what we've decided. Amen. Our kingdom culture wants to win. It desires to fight back against wrong. That's who we are. We cannot sit back and do nothing. It's not our culture to sit back and do nothing when people's lives are being destroyed. We just can't do it. We cannot turn our head and pay attention. People at the factory that you work in, people at the schools that you work in, our communities, and it just gets worse and worse. It doesn't fit the kingdom when you're the light and darkness is winning. It doesn't make sense. When you have the hope of glory in your heart and you have the good news and you need to repel the bad news, when you have the seeds of the Word of God, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which will produce eternal life, and we keep it to ourselves, it just doesn't make sense. It's not our culture. Proverbs chapter 24, this is Old Testament now. It's been in us for a long time. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 11 and 12. Rescue those who are unjustly sentenced to die. Save them as they stagger to their death. Do not excuse yourself by saying, look, we didn't know. For God understands all hearts, and he sees you. And he who guards your soul knows that you knew. And he will repay all people as their actions deserve. See, God's telling us right here that we cannot turn our eye and say, I don't see the suffering. I don't see the pain. I don't see the need. God says, I know you see the need. Did you hear what I said? And this Bible tells us right here that we cannot excuse ourselves. And it says, rescue them. When we see injustice, we bring justice. When we see unrighteousness, we bring righteousness. When we see hopelessness, we bring hope. When we see death, we bring life. Are you understanding? This is who we are. That's why I love this kingdom. Don't you love this kingdom? Man, if I wasn't a part of this kingdom, you need to jump in this kingdom. It's amazing. And all of it comes as a reflection of the image of our King, because he's amazing. Amen. Let me show you this in practice in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, you'll see this in the Apostle Paul, the same spirit that cannot just sit by. Acts chapter 17, verse 16. Have you found it in your Bibles yet? Three of you, the rest of you, your Bibles are broken. Return them. Get a different one. If there's not an Acts chapter 17, you have a defective Bible because there's supposed to be an Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Are you there? All right, here we go. Paul is in a city called Athens, an ancient city called Athens. And in this city, they worshiped all kinds of gods and idols and all kinds of things. And Paul was there. He's waiting for some people to show up. In verse 16, the Bible says this. Now, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was observing the city full of idols. So he was reasoning in the synagogues with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be present. So he did something about it. See, what I see here is Paul is in this city of Athens and he's watching as he's seeing countless numbers of people worshiping these gods that aren't gods at all. They're putting their life in the trust of idols and demons that cannot help them. They're giving their time, they're giving their money, they're giving their talents over to lifeless, dumb idols, as the Bible says. And Paul in Athens can't just sit there and have coffee and look around and see how terrible it is. You understand what I'm saying? And just shake his head, wow, look how bad this city is. See, because that's not kingdom culture. Paul's spirit on the inside of him was being stirred and provoked. And you want to know why it was his spirit being stirred? Because it's the Holy Spirit on the inside of us that can't just sit back and watch people die and do nothing. They can't sit back and let cultures and generation just perpetuate sin and bondage and curses and just do nothing about it. Because Jesus came to win a victory. Jesus came to conquer. Are you understanding? To bring what was missing. Are you hearing what I'm saying on this? And so, you know, the Bible tells us that we have become partakers of the divine nature, which is God's nature. And God's nature is one that gets involved. God's nature is one that doesn't turn a blind eye when we're hurting or we're in pain or we're in sin or we're in darkness. See what I'm saying? We have God's nature, the nature of the King, which is why I'm telling you again, if you're around Christians that are disinterested in helping people or not looking to win their race and not looking to do this thing passionately and with ambition, then they're missing out on the real culture of the kingdom of God. They're calling it Christianity, but it doesn't feel right because it's not right. Real Christianity does stuff. Real Christianity moves mountains. Real Christianity conquers evil kingdoms. Real Christianity brings life. Are you understanding? That's real Christianity. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this. It says, God gives us power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you'll receive power. And that word power there is the word dunamis, or the word dynamite power. Why does God give us power? You have to think about that, right? Why does God give us power? To sit on the couch and explode? Amen? No, he gave us power to win battles. He gave us power to finish the race. He gave us power to help bring life where there was death. He gave us power to act. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Everything in this kingdom is about and designed for action. There's a whole book in the Bible called Acts. It's a book of action. Amen. I love that. And you want to know what that book of Acts is full of? It's full of God's Spirit empowering normal people to bring the kingdom of God into people's lives. Setting people free, healing their bodies, bringing them the good news. It's God's people active by the Spirit and power of God in them. That's us. We were designed to be in action and we've been given power to act. If God didn't want us to win, he wouldn't have given us the ability to win. which also means the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that created the heavens and the earth, is the power that we have to run and win our races, to lead in our areas of leadership, to win our battles. Amen. Because we don't do it in our own strength. We do it in the strength of the Spirit. But we are empowered by the Spirit not to lose. We're empowered by the Spirit to win. Amen. And if we lose, it's because we've pulled back. We've not finished the race. We've lost heart. Amen. We stop sowing, but if we keep sowing, we'll reap in due season if we faint not. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29, Paul speaking about this idea of working hard and sacrificing for the cause and having ambition. In Colossians chapter 1, 28 and 29, he says this, "We proclaim him," talking about Jesus, "warning and instructing everyone in all wisdom, that is, with comprehensive insight into the word and purposes of God, so that we may present every person complete in Christ, mature, fully trained, and perfect in him, the anointed." So Paul set his ambition, told us what it was. His ambition was to get people saved, bring them to Christ, and then fully mature them in Christ. And he's like, this is what I live and breathe for. This is my race. This is what I'm running for. And he says in verse 29, "For this," what we just talked about, "I labor, often to the point of exhaustion, striving then with his power and energy, which so greatly works within me." So Paul was saying, I push myself to a breaking point sometime where I think, God, can I even do it anymore? And God's Spirit takes up with him and gives him strength and says, we're going to do this together. We're going to finish that race and finish that course. Do you see the passion in Paul? And do you see the passion of God, who wouldn't let Paul just run out of energy? God steps in and gives him his energy and says, we'll do this together. Because we were meant to win. We were meant to complete that race. That was the course you were set on, and I put you on that course to win it. The reason we will win in our communities and in our families, in our businesses, and even in our own personal lives is because we really finally want to. And we are really willing finally to do whatever it takes. You know, we're talking as a church about changing the flow of the river, you know, where it's not just like come here and stare at the pulpit, you know, and stuff, but that the people of the church would flow, the river would flow out from the church into the communities. And that's going to take time and intentionality to become first nature for us as a congregation, to realize that we come to be stirred, filled, focused, but the real church is not what happens on the weekend. The real church is what the church is doing throughout the week, which is where we go. Okay. But the reason we're going to win, I believe, in our communities is because we finally say enough is enough and we want to win and we're willing to stay here until we win and we're willing to get involved and make it win. Until we get there, it's just talk. Are you understanding? And the same thing's true even in our lives in here when it comes to breaking bondages and sin patterns and things. Once we get serious, we're finally going to win. You're going to see the victories. I promise you. And you just keep going. Even when you stumble, you get back up and you run again. And you keep going and you keep going. Because we finally just say, I'm sick of the old life. I'm sick of the old habits. I'm sick of that. And I'm willing to pay the price. I'm willing to get a mentor, get a coach, you know, get in church, get plugged in, get accountability. I believe we're really going to win because I feel like the spirit of this house is changing. Where it's not just we want to talk about it. We actually want to win in our generation as a church. We see Rockford and we see Beloit and we see Janesville and we see the surrounding regions and we finally say, enough's enough of this stuff. I'm tired of waiting for somebody else to do it. I'll do it. As Life Church and as the kingdom of God and as a Christian, we'll do it. And we'll join. I know there's other churches doing it, and so we'll even join them because it doesn't matter who gets the glory as long as it's Jesus. Actually, it does matter as long as it's Jesus. Amen. Did you hear what I'm saying? I had someone tell me recently, talking about our church, they said, your church is not easy to go to. I said, well, talk to me about what that means. And he says, because all your messages, they provoke people all the time. And I said, praise God for that. Amen. It's not easy. Because if you just want to sit and be a couch potato and die one day and go to heaven, I am going to irritate you. Because it's not my culture. It's not in my heart. We cannot just sit and think about just me and my four and no more As long as I have breath in my lungs, as long as we are alive, I believe there's dreams in your heart, there's purpose in your heart, there's anointing in your heart. God gave you power not to sit on your couch. He gave you power to win. Now, it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. Don't sit there and excuse yourself and say, well, if I would have heard this when I was 20, it would have mattered. God appointed you to hear it now. Think God missed it? Or do you think God still has purpose and plans for your life if you'll get serious and say, all right, I got 20 years left. I'm going to make them the best I've ever had. Amen. See, that's your passion, your ambition, hooking up with God. God has the passion and ambition. Will you join him? It's your question. Amen. Two lines of thinking in society, and I close with this and I'll pray. Two lines of thinking in society. I want to tell you which one is kingdom thinking, but there's two different lines. The first one is this. Life is just what it is. It is what it is. It's on a downward spiral. Darkness is out of control. People are going to sin. People don't really change. They just kind of perpetuate the generations of their family's traditions and mindsets. The economy's going to do what it's going to do. The devil's going to do what he's going to do. And our job is just to kind of endure and just kind of make it through and just kind of protect what we can protect. Life just what is what it is. Life is the cards you were dealt. You might think personally, just the hand I was dealt in life. My family was alcoholics. My family was filled with divorce. My family has, because of our culture, we're angry and volatile. No one's ever succeeded in our family. And so we just kind of manage the way we've always been because just life is what it is and there's not much you can do about it. You can try to get people's hopes up, but really they're just going to fall back down. And it's this cycle and it just is what it is. Life just is. You just try to make it through. That's one line of thinking. And some of you might have even fallen into that place where you've lived in more of an adapting kind of mentality, an enduring kind of mentality, just kind of getting by kind of mentality because life is just going to do what life's going to do. The second mentality is, I believe, the kingdom mentality, and that's this. Life is created and can be changed. See, because our Bible tells us that we can reap what we sow, which means if I don't like the harvest, I can sow for a different one. See, my Bible says that mankind can truly change and God can change the core and the heart of a man. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Or of a woman? Our Bible says we can pray and we can see mountains moved and we can see cities transformed. Bible gives us examples of generations that have been saved and transformed and brought back to God in just a few brief moments where God shows up. We see in the book of Acts and in the New Testament where Christians rise up and begin to proclaim the good news, and cities that were once idol worshipers and pagan worshipers began to turn the whole city upside down, they said, but in reality, they were turning it right side up. And they were able to make great change and impact. And so there's one mentality that says, well, society's going to keep going in this trajectory, but the Spirit and the kingdom of God says, no, we can change that. But if you don't believe you can change it, you don't get involved in it. If you think you're just here to endure it, just to get through it and wait till the end, then that's a different mindset. But the kingdom of mindset is all about this can change. If we sow, we can reap a different harvest. If we do, God can come in and do what he wants to do. God has an opposing and different will for a generation. And we want to pray his will, the king's will, be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We cannot sit back and just let life happen. We can create and change a trajectory of life. Your life, others' lives, and a generation's life. Amen. You can clap there. That was a really good place to get excited about. Go ahead and stand up. I want to pray this into our hearts as we close. I just want to pray this Spirit into us. This is God's divine nature. Our King is this passionate. He had to be this passionate to come and die on the cross, take on death, hell, and the grave. You understand what I'm saying? You don't do that casually. You do that because you have passion and ambition, specific goals, specific success, and do whatever it takes to achieve that success. Amen. Put your hands over your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you. I thank you for the nature of our God, the character, the culture of our King. And I pray that becomes the culture of the kingdom that we're here in this church part of, that we are a passionate people. We're a people that set great goals, great visions, great finish lines, great ambitions which come from the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray for us that some of us have been so casual about our Christianity, so casual about our race. We haven't been running the race to win. We haven't even thought about winning. Just thought about getting out of here, just biding time. Lord, I pray today you would awaken in us. Awaken our heart. Awaken our faith. Awaken passion and ambition in us. And God, we pray for our city. We pray for our generation. God, use us, spend us while we're here. You gave us life. You've given us talents. You've given us the anointing. Show us where our race runs in making our culture and our generation better. We don't run somebody else's race. So we can't compare ourselves to somebody else's race. But may we run the race you put us on for the best that we can run that race with the help of the Holy Spirit. We will not make excuses for not completing our race. And Lord, I just pray over Life Church, you begin to speak to us. You begin to provoke us in a good way into action. Every generation involved, one way, shape, or form. Every generation, living purpose, living in the cause of the kingdom, thriving and bringing that culture to this generation. Lord, we repent again of apathy. We repent of laziness. And Lord, we ask that you give us your heart for people. And real quickly, even in personal victory, God, if there's anyone in this room that's been playing around with sin, anybody in this room is playing around with the old nature, they've been talking like they want freedom, but they haven't decided to be free. God, today I pray they set their mind and they say, I'm done. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to get to take the freedom that Jesus paid for me to have. We give you thanks. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.